Good morning. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We haven't been here in a long time, so I'm going to just do a little quick catch up and then we'll continue on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able. For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither is the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building upon it. Let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burnt up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man thinks among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Amen. Chapter 3 is still continuing the thought of Paul dealing with the issue of divisions in the church. Let me take a step back, since it's really been a long time since we've been in Corinthians. So let me just go over exactly why Paul is writing what he's writing, and then we'll get into chapter 3. And so, if you remember, Paul's first contact with the church in Corinth is he wanted to go and preach the gospel there. And so he goes, visits, he plants the church, the good news to the Corinthians. And then Paul, he ends up writing this letter, and it's a very general letter about spiritual growth, about how to grow as a church, how to be a church. Well, that letter was actually lost, and so it disappeared somehow. Some people think it got there, some it didn't get there, but in any case, there's no record of this letter still existing today. And so what ended up happening is after he sends this letter off, and he gets news that there's a lot of disturbing things happening in Corinth. And here's about all these divisions, different kind of questions that are really arising. And so Paul actually makes a very hurried visit to Corinth. And he goes there and he deals with the situations that are at hand. And this is when he writes 1 Corinthians. And so 1 Corinthians that's written here is the letter itself is actually a response to something that's already going on. And so this is not, Paul is not just writing out of, his own whim. He is actually responding to different things. And he's first responding to all the divisions. And then later on, you'll see a phrase in the Corinthian letters, and he'll say, now concerning. And so when he uses this, it's about six or seven times here. Every time he uses the word now concerning, he's actually dealing with a specific question. Most likely were Stephanus, Achaeus, and if you remember in the end of 1 Corinthians, he said the three brothers came. And so most likely what had happened is he's dealing with the major issue that's occurring, and which is this idea of divisions and things that are happening in the church. And then later on, these three brothers from Corinth come and visit him in Ephesus, and as he writes 1 Corinthians, he's basically writing a response to the questions that these guys had, which was basically in the running and operation of the church. And so this is the whole thing. Later on, he pays another visit, and then he writes 2 Corinthians. And that's kind of how the story goes. But in all, just to give you an idea, most likely scholars believe he actually wrote 4 letters, right? And so 2 of the ones we have here, the other 2, the one is lost, the other one they have, but it's not part of the canon of Scripture here. Okay, so this is why he's writing. And he's writing primarily to deal with the issues of the church. This is why 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians is very important to us as a church, because it's almost like, if you can imagine asking the apostle or the chief leader in the church, well, what do you think about this issue? Well, what do you think about this issue of marriage and family and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? And these are the questions that Stephanus and Aikaeus bring along. And Paul says, now concerning, and he answers these questions, you know, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So let's go to chapter 3. I know that's not going to catch you all up, because it's been like 2 months since we've hit 1 Corinthians. But in any case, so 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And so he's giving us now, dealing straight on with one of the major issues in this particular church. And the issue in this church dealt with divisions. And so what was happening was that there are individuals saying, well, I'm a disciple of, when it says I am of, that's what they mean. Well, I am a disciple of Apollos. Remember, Apollos was the one that Ananias and Sapphira grabbed a hold of, who was a great speaker, but he didn't know everything about the way. And so they taught Apollos, and he was, according to New Testament idea, he was probably the greatest orator of his time. I mean, this guy could preach. And so you can see how people are really aligned themselves with Apollos. Others would say, well, I'm a disciple of Cephas, which is Peter. Others would say, well, I'm a disciple of Paul. And as a result of what would seem like a good idea became a very, very bad idea, in the sense that people became very divided. And you can see different factions start to arise in the church. Now, obviously, in our local church setting, this may not necessarily play out, but I wonder if it plays out in the universal church setting, in the sense that we say, well, I'm a charismatic. Well, I'm Reformed. You know, well, I'm Baptist. I'm Southern Baptist. I'm First Baptist. I'm Anabaptist. You know, and he goes on and on and on and on. And I wonder if this is really a plan of the enemy. We went to a conference this past week in Irvine, in Orange County, and one of the speakers was mentioning about all these denominations, and I remember on the big screen, he had this whole thing, and it, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, it says something like, is this the plan of God or of Satan? And wow, it was very like striking. And it was talking about, you know, 300-some denominations of even this, actually thousands probably. And is this the work of God, or is this the work of the devil? And I personally believe it's the work of the enemy to bring such division. I mean, we can have a good discourse, and we can align ourselves in the sense that we emphasize different things in terms of the whole counsel of Scripture. But that, for that to be a dividing issue, we've walked right into the enemy's hands. And so he's dealing with this, and he's saying, look, it doesn't matter who planted, who watered. In other words, it doesn't matter what or which person played in the process of how you got to where you are. It was God that was doing all the growth. The scripture here says, I planted, verse 6, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So it's neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. And so Paul is really stressing the fact, look, it doesn't matter who planted, who watered, it doesn't matter who played a part in your discipleship, your discipler is God. He's the one that caused the growth. It's fact. It's his ministry. It's his. You are his temple. You are his building. Everything that pertains to your life spiritually is God. And so why are you causing divisions? And why are you making little clubs and sects in the different things that you're doing? And he starts off with this kind of rebuke. He says, man, I wanted to give you some solid food, but you are so childish. I'm just going to give you milk. In other words, he was calling these guys a bunch of big babies. And in essence, they really were. And the moment that we start getting ourselves out of the counsel of God and saying, well, I'm a part of this and I'm a part of that, and instead of uniting ourselves, that we end up dividing ourselves, we become just like little kids. And incidentally, Paul will continue to use this theme throughout the book of Corinthians, this idea of a child. You know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You know, these things will continue on and on and on in his teaching. And so he's trying to tell these guys, look, it's God the one. It's Jesus. He's the only foundation that we build on. And if there's anything that good that comes out of it, it's because God is building it. He continues on, and verse 16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. And so, in this sense, Paul is asking them to go a little higher. He's trying to inspire them to go beyond their petty squabbles. And he says, man, the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are a temple of God. The Spirit of the Lord is inside of you. And so let's get out of this muck that we live down here, and let's go higher in the Lord. Let's allow him to do what he can do, because he's holy and so are you. And so he's trying to inspire them to get out of this rut and really this childish kind of thinking that they're totally caught up in this season of their life. And he says, you're more than that. There is so much more that God has in store for you. And this is not, we can very easily look at this, but, you know, I mean, honestly, we're going to look honestly in our lives. We are many times tempted with trying to receive credit for what something God has done. Isn't that true? Right? Many times we go about our life and we are seeking the credit that belongs to God and we ascribe it to ourselves. I remember years and years and years ago when I was ministering to a group of people, and I think I was at a retreat somewhere. I forget exactly what setting. You know, I spoke at so many retreats, and I was preaching, and God really did something very supernatural with somebody. And then at the end of the retreat, they came up to give a testimony, and I was sitting there, and I was okay. Everything was fine, but then I end up having this urge, you know, to be recognized for what I had done. And in this particular case, this person got healed of something, and I wanted this person to testify to everybody. The person was already giving a testimony, but I wanted the person to specifically give a testimony about what I did. And I was sitting there, and I was waiting and waiting. Oh, surely this person's going to say, Pastor Sam prayed for me, and this happened, and I got healed, praise God. And the person didn't do it. The person just said, I got healed, and didn't mention my name or anything, but it was me. I was the one, that the agent by which it came. And I was sitting there listening to that and just really bothered by this person, totally unable to rejoice in the healing, but more bothered in the fact that this person didn't say my name. And I realized, ooh, I'm not at a very good place spiritually. I am ascribing to myself, which only belongs to God. Who healed this person? Wasn't me, it was God. And so we see how easy it becomes for us to ascribe to ourselves something that doesn't belong to us. It's very easy for these people to ascribe to themselves, in terms of, in this case, a partnership with somebody. And people do this in the church all the time. And maybe in some ways because they are insecure about their own spirituality. And so they feel like they need to live the spirituality out through their church or through their leader. And so if their leader is famous and written books, you know, these type of things, to associate myself with that person makes me feel good about myself. You guys understand the mentality. And in this context, they are ascribing to themselves, which doesn't belong to themselves at all. I've seen this happen so many times. I see this happening in my own life at times. And we got to make sure that whatever is going on, whatever is happening, right, that we're giving glory to God, that he's the one that's doing it. Right? He's the one that's causing the growth. He's the one that's giving us the ministry. It's his building. It's his workmanship. Everything that happens in our life is because of him. And the moment we start segueing or dividing up and taking credit or ascribing ourselves to some person, some ministry, some denomination, something that brings disunity, we're doing a huge disservice to the kingdom of God. And that's exactly what's going on with these guys here. And he says, look, you guys don't need to boast in men. Right? You boast in God. God is the one that's doing all this kind of stuff. In verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things come, all things belong to you. You belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. It's all his stuff. And so there's no reason for us to bring division into the house of God by aligning ourselves with different people. And the moment we begin to do that, we lift them up and no longer lift up Christ in our lives. Amen? So let's close our eyes. As Gene leads us in a song of worship, I just want to encourage you to think about, are there any areas in our life that in some way that we are bringing disunity? Let's think about how that plays out in a church setting. Maybe you belong in the intercessory prayer ministry and you believe that's the most important ministry in the church. And if you're an IP, that's what you should believe. But if you act in such a way that nullifies other ministries, then you've fallen to the error of the Corinthians. Or worship ministry or children's ministry or... and it becomes just all about you and your ministry, I think that's a problem. We're not looking at the whole picture. Let's ask Holy Spirit to speak to us about anything in our life that in some way is causing division. And let's deal with it today.
I belong to you.
let's go to the Lord and let's just talk to Him about those areas in our life or in our thought life that in some way is bringing any kind of division. It could be on a spiritual level, it could be on a church level, or it can be even on an ethnic national level, even racism. Same issue. Let's just pray and ask Holy Spirit to just cleanse us and speak to us about these different areas and to set us free from them. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray for our community. Let's lift up those that are members that are going through cancer. Let's pray for those that are in chemotherapy, others that are looking to have surgery. And let's also pray that God would just continue to move in the life of our community. Let's pray. You see all the names and people on the board. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for those that are sick, but also, more importantly, that need that word of salvation. So let's lift them up. Let's pray for others that are sick, and then our ones that are looking for work, and God will just open a door for them. Let's lift up. Let's pray in our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's lift up SP Beijing. Pray for P. Sam, Annie, the kids, for Chris and Amy, and for Mary and the leaders that they're gathering together. Let's pray for the Chung family. Ask the Lord to continue to move upon them, especially for the next step for ministry for them. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Pray for the Basarabas and Leanne. Edie Clark, the kids in Chichihar, the government and the churches. Let's just ask God to really just blow His wind upon this country. Let's pray for our leaders, our staff, our board, our missions committee. Let's pray for strength, godly wisdom, that the hand of the Lord will be upon each of them as they make decisions and they work diligently for the Lord. Let's cover. Let's pray for the Indonesian ministry, Pastor Selamat, and let's pray for the Korean church as well, Pastor Choi. Let's ask God to continue to move over these ministries and that He would truly be glorified in all that they do. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Let's ask God's hand to be upon the leaders and upon the time of word and worship and work and welcome. Pray that people would really draw near, that whatever barriers there are of coming, be it work schedules or tiredness or fatigue, let's pray that all those things would be eradicated right now in Jesus' name, that there'll be a real longing and a desire to come together in community, and that as they come together, the Spirit of God would move and people would grow. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to come and have mercy on your church, God, your churches, Lord, all over this world. Lord, if there's anyone, God, or any group of people or that's causing division in your bride, God, in your beautiful church, Lord, we pray that you would graciously and swiftly deal with that those situations, God, that we want to see your church high and lifted up, God, Lord, through your Son, Jesus, the Christ. And so come, God, and if we play any part in any kind of disunity, God, we pray that you would humble us, God, and that we would fall on our knees, Lord, in repentance and really seek the unity of your body. We thank you, God. We thank you that you are always causing the growth in our lives, God. We bless you. Watch over us today, God. Lord, help us to grow today. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today, and please continue to pray and seek the Lord.